The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I read the spy novel Red Sparrow by the former CIA agent Jason Matthews not long after it was published in 2013. Now, a film based on Red Sparrow, directed by Francis Lawrence, has just come out, and the timing couldn't be better. Russian intelligence directed against the U.S. is on the front page just about every day, along with the national conversation about sexual coercion at work. And somehow, Red Sparrow brings those themes together. It's about a former ballerina pressured into joining a special branch of Russian intelligence whose spies work by seducing men to get information. And while the story is fiction, programs like this did exist in Soviet spy agencies and in our own.
Every human being is a puzzle of need. You must learn to intuit what is missing, become the missing piece, and they will give you anything. Take off your clothes. You must learn to sacrifice for a higher purpose, to push yourself beyond all limitation and forget the sentimental morality with which you were raised.
The lead character, the ballerina-turned-spy, is named Dominika Yegorova, and she's played by the unbeatable Jennifer Lawrence. Lawrence has been a fierce presence in movies like The Hunger Games. She was hilarious in American Hustle and heartbreaking in Winter's Bone and Silver Linings Playbook. Jennifer Lawrence joined me in the studio here last week.
I have a confession to make. I read all these novels, beginning with Red Sparrow, and the new one has just come out. Now, do you read the novel that the movie is based on, or do you not want to know what's in it? How does it work?
I started it, and then I was, I think Frances got a little freaked out that it would scare me because the books are a little more sexualized than the movie is. And you have to change so much to turn a novel into a movie that it's two different characters. So it would have been confusing. And I'm also always looking for any excuse to stop reading. So I was like...
You were bored?
No, I was just working. I was on Passengers.
So you're... In this movie, you play the ultimate spy. She's so good that she fools the entire Russian intelligence establishment. And at the same time, she's terrified the entire movie. Mm-hmm. And it's a highly sexualized movie. I mean, even made the book maybe more or less. How do you prepare for this? That role seemed like it would be something to be anxious about in a number of different ways.
Yeah, I was very anxious about this. It was a lot to wrap my head around. You know, I had like one full year to prepare myself for the certain super intense sexual scenes, so like a year of preemptive anxiety. The night before, I didn't sleep at all, but I just kept going back to, I love this movie. Like, I read it. It was a really exciting challenge. I also loved the take and the perspective that they chose to tell in the life of espionage. You know, it's not like a Jane Bond. It's really the brutality of such a lifestyle of living a double life.
Your character is pushed into being a spy by an uncle, and he pushes you to go to this school, it's called Sparrow School, where young women, and young men too, are taught to be Mata Hari type figures, to use their sexuality to entrap other people. What did they say about that?
It is a real program. No one knows if it still exists to this day. The United States actually tried to use sparrows on Russia in the 50s and 60s, but it didn't work because of our difference in cultural cultural differences.
Why would that be?
They would blackmail and say, we're going to show these pictures to your wife, and they'd be like, do it. And then the Americans were like,
Listen, I'm curious. Did you want me to know that you were following me, or are you just real clumsy?
You Americans always think the rest of us are so interested in you, don't you?
So what made you want to become a translator?
My mother is unwell. If I work for the government, the state helps me to get her. My uncle helped me get the job.
Your uncle is a very powerful man.
In my country, if you don't matter to the men in power, you do not matter.
Hey, I'd like to see you again.
Why are we going to become friends?
How did you learn a Russian accent?
First was finding which dialect, because, you know, every city has its own. And then my dialect coach, Tim Monick, found women who had been living either in America or in England that speak good English. It was just really strict homework. And I couldn't use any dialogue from the script because I feel like it dies. Like after like three times, I can feel it just die.
I mean, if you do lines from the script more than a few times, it flattens out.
For me, it does. I mean, I can remember what it looks like and imitate it, but there's a certain feeling that you get when you're first saying it or you're first reading it that I try to hold on to. I don't know what it is. I mean, when I was doing Mother, I was listening to headphones, you know, listening to Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, while we were blocking out the horrific scene where my baby dies, because I just couldn't have those feelings come too early. So I was like, Santa Claus is coming to town. And then the baby dies over there. Santa Claus is coming to town.
What do you say no to when roles are coming at you the way they must come at you all the time from your agent or manager? What kind of roles come at you typically and you say, no, I don't want any part of that?
Well, before this, nudity to overtly sexual. Now, I mean, I try to stay away from being redundant, you know, doing something I know I can do. I don't know. It's scarier now because I'm not in between Hunger Games. It's too much pressure. I read something and then all of a sudden it's getting made. And I'm like, is everybody just making this because I said yes? Because I don't know. What does everybody else think? Is this good? You know.
Well, why did you change your mind for Red Sparrow? In other words, if you were rejecting things that had nudity involved, why did you change your mind for this?
I mean, my real desire to do the movie, to push myself this way and to become this character and to do a four and a half, you know, all of these things that seemed really scary and challenging to me, I didn't want my fears and insecurities and fear of being judged to get in the way of me doing something that I really, really wanted to do and be a part of.
When you say judged, how do you feel the judging coming at you? Are you guilty of going on Twitter or social media, and can't you stay away from it?
Yeah, I can't do it during a press tour because it's too intense. It's so heightened, like during this time, and I always have to remind myself that it does go away. It really crescendos when a movie's coming out, and I always have this moment where I'm like, I can't do this. It's not worth it. I'm not happy. I started doing this because it made me happy, and I'm not happy anymore. And then the movie comes out. Everyone forgets about me. Another actress has a movie coming out. Everyone hates her. Thank God Amy Schumer has a movie coming out. Amy, good luck.
you think
they'll all start hating Amy.
Be all over her.
Thank God she'll take it, take the brunt.
And you think guys get this too?
I don't think it's as much. I think that's kind of obvious. I don't know why. I can't break it down for you. I can't break down the psyche. I don't know why Greta Gerwig would be the only one backstage asked about Woody Allen when other men have worked with him and they don't get asked after they've won. I don't know why the intense scrutiny on women. I don't know why we're so easy to be unlikable.
When you see men support Woody Allen, Alec Baldwin and others, how do you feel?
I don't know. It's hard for me to say anything, and I'm right at the place right now where I just get scrutinized for everything. But I don't know what the right answer is, to be honest.
The Oscars are going to be in a few days, and there's a kind of weight on this mm-hmm. Oscars. In the past, there have been on certain issues, whether it was Vietnam long ago or Marlon Brando turning it down, but that was kind of a surprise. What do you want to see happen?
At the Oscars or overall?
Yeah,
at
the Oscars.
I feel like we've really talked about it. I feel like people are supportive. I mean, it certainly needs to be acknowledged.
No, you live there. I don't. You're in that environment. I'm not. What's changed and what has not changed at all?
There's still not a lot of transparency with pay. There needs to be just across-the-board transparency. I wouldn't say yes to any number without looking to see what the other people in the movie were getting paid. I think that there's a little bit of a battle going on right now, and some people are getting frustrated. I can see even some women are getting frustrated. But Time's Up is an amazing commission. They are making, we are making actual strategic changes, changing guidelines on set, creating a hotline where you can call, legal defense fund if you feel like you can't take your abuser to court. Those people are really doing things, and they are not shouting every day from a rooftop and making explosive tweets and make they that
you
kind of
behavior. You sound
frustrated with that. I am frustrated by it because it really it makes the movement unlikable and easy to just go, oh, God, it's so annoying.
I think you're talking about things like a social media flap about a dress you once wore that some people found too sexy.
And they're actually creating a distraction from a very real issue that really needs to be addressed and for the bigger cause.
Issue that's far beyond Hollywood. How do you experience that in I guess, what we call real life beyond Hollywood?
I don't know. I mean, I definitely hear, you know, people from my hometown talking about it more. It's a conversation now, and it's also a safer conversation. Nobody can really deny that these things are going on anymore. Nobody can really deny that women aren't being paid equally. Nobody can deny that when more men are in positions of power, there is more sexual abuse. There just is. We need more diversity. We need more women and more people of color and in positions of power. Then less abuse will happen.
You're going to take a year off. I mean, your career is blazing hot, and then you're going to take a pause for a year. Why and what are you going to do?
I haven't found that thing that I want to be on set for yet, but I'm going to use this year where I'm not going to be actually on set to travel around America. I'm a part of an organization called Represent Us, and the basic idea is passing state-by-state legislation to prevent corruption and big money in politics. But my part of the piece for the next year is just going to be talking to young people, getting them engaged politically.
And you've seen how people in Hollywood or people from various worlds of so-called celebrity, it cuts both ways when they get involved in politics.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a terrible idea. I mean, I noticed that right away as soon as I just started. I mean, it was bad.
You felt a react.
Yeah. Well, and I think I mean, I had like a 70% Republican fan base or something. But the funny thing is, I'm not even talking about what people's politics should
be. Wait, how do you know you have a 70%?
I don't know. My publicist just said that to me one day. I mean, it's not a good idea because my job relies on everyone going to see my movies. But my political views are my own, and I respect
somebody
else. No, I
mean something else. I mean, sometimes people react to celebrities. You'll forgive me for using that word. But getting into politics, like, who were they to tell me who to vote?
Oh,
They get pissed off about that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I certainly wouldn't go into something without doing my due diligence, educating myself enough. And I think that would be a problem, wouldn't it, if we started saying, oh, you can't help. I mean, that's the opposite of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to go tell young people, you can do stuff. Find out your representative. Find what they stand for. And when the time comes, vote. But if there is something I can do to help, then I want to do that.
I want to ask you about fame. People talk about you and they say she's incredibly relatable, particularly for young women. It must make you feel good in some way, but what does it mean? And did you have somebody like that in your life growing up on the screen?
I don't know. I mean, I loved I Love Lucy. I'd seen all of those. I don't know if I had like a particular, other than obviously Beyonce, like a celebrity that I felt like I had something in common with. When everybody always tells me that, I'm always just, I don't know why I would change. I get to do what I love. I'm very grateful. I know that there are aspects of my life that are weird, but they're just logistical.
What's the weird part?
The weird part is like sometimes I show up with a bodyguard, and that's weird, and I try not to do that. But they really are just logistical issues.
Well, it's
like
not
once
just
you
logistical.
Get to know
you get
me,
your
you realize...
phone, you get your phone hacked, and pictures of you go all over the world.
Yeah, that's, and there's
not
that too.
That's not the experience of most people. Is that something you would, at least in the moment, you say, you know, I'd give it all up not to have this kind of nonsense?
When I had my meltdown in London. My publicist loves when I just say I had a meltdown. I did. I cried. And I go back to, like, that's when I should have quit. And then when that didn't happen, I should have quit then. And then when that didn't happen, I should have quit then. And then it goes away and it calms down a little bit and I get to go back to my normal life.
What's your normal life? We were talking before about when you came in here, and one of your secret passions is Real Housewives. I want to know everything about that.
Oh, my God, you do?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I love reality TV. It's a good way for my brain to shut off. But I've been watching. The funny thing is, like, my best girlfriends, we've all been watching them for over 10 years. So we're so invested in them that we can have genuine conversations where we don't crack a smile and we talk passionately for like 3 hours.
You're dead serious about Real Housewives?
I'm dead serious, just breaking down the life of Kylie Jenner, Kendall Jenner.
Okay, I haven't watched too many, but when I watched it in the beginning, I thought, A, two things. One, that Kim Kardashian is like the Andy Warhol of our time. She's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And B, most of the show is about misplacing your cell phone. I don't know where my cell phone is. I lost my cell phone. There's a lot of talking about that.
Yeah.
And then the greatest episode I saw was when her now ex-husband threw her into the water.
That was so mean. And she lost the diamond. And then Courtney was like, people are dying, Kim. Yeah, I know what episode you're talking about.
And I think it's possible that diamond was maybe
fake.
A freebie.
Oh, my gosh.
See, wow. Now the scales
fall
from
really,
your eyes.
It really, really makes me mad
when
men do this to me. No, it's all real. I reject that idea.
Do you ever think of yourself at 50, 60, what kind of presence that you'd want to be on screen?
No. Yeah. I go as far as hope that I am working at that age. Eventually, I'd like to direct, but... I want to make sure that I'm actually good at it, because Greta Gerwig really ruined that dream for me. She was like, I thought you wanted to direct. I was like, yeah, until Lady Bird. The film was perfect. I can't beat that.
But do you have a project in mind? The kind of movie do you like to make?
Yeah, it's about acid. I've never done acid, which is, I guess I should probably do before I direct a movie about acid, but... It's about John Ketchum, who was a scientist that he was using acid, trying to find tactics of warfare with no deaths and no injuries.
I would definitely see that movie.
You would?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
Jen Lawrence,
all right,
thank
I'll
you.
Make it. It's over? Oh, yeah. God.
Thank you.
I hope that was okay.
It was great. Thank you. Jennifer Lawrence. She stars in Red Sparrow, which is just out.